All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week this last week, and I'm sure you were all prepared for the cold that November decided to spring on us. I wasn't, but you never know what you're going to get around here with the cold. Thank you for bearing with me today. David being back, he gets to listen to me preach, so it makes me a little bit more nervous. I don't know. But as you all know, sometimes my sermons are a little different, but maybe this one falls into that category. But I tend to bring lessons from what I see, what I observe, and what I experience. So this is definitely one of those. So I hope you get something from this message, and I hope it makes sense. But unless you've been buried under a rock here the last several months, really, but definitely this past week, you've noticed all the signs are out in a lot of yards and everywhere. It was voting time, so I hope you took your opportunity this past week to go out and vote. Whatever you may think of that process, it is your opportunity to do that. So that was what was going on this week. So maybe you went and you voted and you had the ballot up there and you got the sticker or you got the pen or you got both. I got the sticker and the pen. I put my sticker on the pen. I had both of those kind of things going on, but when you think about elections, you know, everybody has a choice when you go to vote. Hopefully, you're either voting for people for office, or you're voting for some kind of ballot issue, something that's going to be brought forth before the voters to make a decision on. So you have a lot of ballot issues that you have on there as well. So what you're trying to do, I hope, is make some informed decisions, right? You're going to study, you're going to investigate, you're going to ask questions, you're going to do some research, whether it's regarding the issues that are on the ballot or the people that are on the ballot that you're going to be voting for, so you can make an educated choice. You know, you're making your choice, and so when you fill out that ballot, you're circling whichever box that you are there, and so make sure you're making an educated choice. Now, okay, where am I going with this? All right, so I actually had quite a few ideas for what I want to pose as ballot items that we are going to vote on today. And I like a little bit of participation with this. Not precipitation. I don't want you guys spitting at me for this being bad, but a little bit of participation today on five ballot items. So when we get to that item, I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand. You're going to have two choices to vote on. And you may think that these choices are obvious, and maybe they are, but sometimes it's nice to do a little bit of thinking, a little bit of research. I'm going to put out an issue. I'm going to give us some scriptures for some research for this ballot item, and then I'm going to have the ballot choices up there. We're going to vote on these things. So again, I hope this makes sense. I hope it's informational for you, but I hope I'm reinforcing some things that, yeah, maybe you think, yeah, of course I would choose that. But sometimes reading some scriptures and really thinking about it, I think it just gives you some reinforcement, gives you some encouragement on, you know what, yeah, maybe sometimes I think I'm leaning toward this way, but maybe I'm kind of slipping off here, and I need to really reinforce what I'm thinking here. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I have five of these. I had seven. At one point, I had like 11. So I'm down to five. I'm trying to watch my time a little bit because I can get a little long-winded. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put up a few pictures here. Hey, this all is working fine. I came up yesterday to make sure all this worked. So each one of these, I'm going to put up a few pictures, and I'm going to describe the issue for you that we're going to talk about. So with these pictures here, here's the issue that we're going to think about. Number one, sometimes we go through our daily life, and it's always smooth sailing, right? No, I don't think so. A lot of us have, we all have to live life, and there is going to be ebbs and flows, ups and downs, smooth times, and not so smooth times. So the issue today that we're going to talk about, at least number one here, is disruptions in life, you know, with this, what's going on? Or you have the routine, you have a normal day that's going on, you know, smooth sailing versus being knocked around. And I think a lot of us can really appreciate and understand what that means. You know, there's just, even though just day to day, sometimes this was a good day. It was just smooth sailing. Or by the end of some other day, you just felt like you've been beat up. You just been knocked around. And you just don't know what you're going to do because it was definitely not smooth sailing that day. And a lot of things can precipitate that kind of day one way or another. You know, maybe that time where a lot of bills are coming in. And I think we all have the routine bills that we can plan for. But then there's routine bills that you don't plan for. Something breaks down. Oh, now you got to buy a new refrigerator. Or something happens to the car and you got to fix the car. Or whatever it might be. Now all of a sudden, what you planned for, now you got a lot of other stuff. What's that going to cause? Definitely not smooth sailing. It can be a challenge to deal with. Or sickness with you or somebody in your family. So anytime you have health issues, that's cause for concern and can really be a problem. Or if somebody has an accident, if you have an accident or somebody has an accident in your family, they really get hurt. That's very troublesome and can really cause some issues. Or you just having problems with your family or problems at work. You just got issues with people in general. That is definitely can really cause a disruption in your life, what you're trying to do, how you're trying to live. And again, when we talk about issue number one, that is it. Obviously, we all want some smooth sailing each and every day. And not only just in the life that we live, but in our Christian life as well. We would like smooth sailing. But unfortunately, that is not always the case. And we all always have certain things that are coming up that instead of being able to sit back and just relax all the time, we do have to deal with a lot of things. And that can get again in the way of not only our just life that we live each and every day, but our spiritual life as well. So I hope you understand that is issue number one that we are talking about here. So I have a few verses that I want to share with you that just kind of talk about how we can look at these situations definitely from a spiritual sense so that we can deal with these things. The first one I want to give you is Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 40. And all these are from the ESV version, so if you're reading from a different version, it might be a little different worded, but this is from the ESV. So Mark 4, 37 through 40. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat. You know the scene here very well, the storm on the sea, and Jesus is in the boat, and what's he doing? The boat was already filling up, but where was Jesus? Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. I've always liked picturing that scene. From that. I don't know how you picture it, but I enjoy picturing this scene that's described in the scriptures. And the people on the boat, they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And the word I want to bring out here with this scripture is that one with faith. You know, you could understand everybody that was on this boat and you had the winds and the sea breaking on the boat and they're really scared, they're really worried, they're really in a panic. And Jesus, their teacher, is right there on the boat. He's relaxed. He's sleeping. He's not paying any attention. But they got to go wake him up. They're in a panic. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? We think about faith, that's confidence. That's trust in God. And in this case, for me, when we start dealing with the storms of life, that are always trying to knock us around, whatever it may be. I gave you a few to consider, but I'm sure you can think of a lot more. Whenever you've got those storms of life beating you up and knocking you around and trying to knock you off course, what's it going to do to your faith? How bad is it going to shake your faith? Because we need to have trust. We need to have confidence in God that, yes, He does care. Yes, He's looking out for us. You know, one of the last songs that we studied on Wednesday nights was Does Jesus Care? And I think we studied that in great detail. And I think we could all come to the conclusion that, yes, Jesus does care. And God does care. So the question, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Well, of course, God does care. But we need to make sure that our faith is not shaken when we deal with the storms and the trials that we have to face each and every day of our life. One more scripture for this, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. When you think about being anxious or anxiety, you know, you're full of distress, you're full of worry, you're just uneasy. You just have this uneasy feeling about you. So when you're anxious, you kind of have that going on. You just can't be at ease. You're just uneasy. And why do you feel this way? It could be, again, because of fear or danger or just misfortune that you're having to deal with. And you're greatly worried about what's the outcome of this going to be. Can't you hear yourself saying this at some point? What am I going to do? For whatever it is, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to get through this? And it can cause this anxiety. But here we're reading, don't be anxious. Don't have this anxiety. Let the peace of God that we've established that we need to have, because we need to have trust in God, right? We need to have that faith in God. When we have that faith and trust, we can have peace in God. To be able to be calm, to deal with these storms that we're going to face. We're not going to be spared from storms of life. But we can have a calm that surpasses all understanding. You know, sometimes you just don't understand how you get through some things. But boy, I tell you what, when you go to God in prayer and you make Him your priority and you make Him your focus, I tell you what, all of a sudden you got some peace that, man, where did that come from? I tell you where it came from. It came from God. He can help you get through these things. Here's what we're going to vote on. Here's our ballot option here. We have panic, and we have peace. All right. So, hey, I'm going to have you raise your hands. So who's voting panic? When you deal with all these things, you can choose to work this way, and you can vote for panic. And you can be that person like, what am I going to do? So who's voting panic? I'm not getting any takers. What's going on? All right, who's voting peace? I want to see you raise your hands. Yes, yes, we are participating today. So, online, I hope you voted for peace as well, because that is what we're doing. We are going to pencil in this circle completely, not outside the lines, it's going to be voted correctly. Yes, we are voting peace today. And I think with the verses that we read, and there are so many more, that, again, with this issue that we all have to deal with. We have to deal with the world trying to beat us up. And we have to deal with a lot of stuff that goes on each and every day. But how you choose to deal with it is very important. And can really set you on a path to really be closer to God as you deal with these things. Or can send you farther apart and you let that storm just keep knocking you off path. And send you toward the rocks. And you don't want that. Go to God. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Don't get panicked about it. And let that peace of God, that's going to surpass all understanding. Guard your heart so that we can vote for peace. All right. Now you get it. That's the first one. All right. Number two. All right, we got these two up here. You're probably thinking, what in the world's going on here? All right, here's our issue. Not unlike the first ballot issue, this one kind of goes with it, but I wanted to break it out as its own. I think we all face a lot of challenges each and every day. We have a lot of decisions we have to make. Whether you realize it or not, you make a whole lot of decisions each and every day. Not just the simple stuff like, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Am I going to eat breakfast? What am I going to wear to here or there? Where am I going to go? How am I going to work my schedule out? Whatever it is, you got a lot of decisions. But you actually have a lot of decisions on what you think, how you're going to act or react to something or someone, what kind of direction you want that day to go. You have a lot of say into that. And a lot of that has to come with your attitude toward that day. You have a lot of challenges, again, from work and family that you're going to have to deal with, and how you're going to react to these things. And we also have challenges of faith that, again, we've talked about a little bit in the first point. Again, sometimes when we have to deal with a lot of things, and we feel like the weight of the world is coming down on us, that can affect our faith. And what it winds up doing, it can make you disheartened or discouraged. And that's why I wanted to break this out from the first one. You know, the first one I talked about being anxious and having that anxiety. But some of these things, I feel like, you know, depression's a real thing, and it can get you down. Whether it's full-blown depression or you just feel down and you're just having trouble taking the next step from whatever it is. And I have a few verses that you might be able to think of before I even put them up here to give you the courage to get through whatever you're having to go through, the challenges of decisions or direction or work or family or faith. Or again, fill in the blank with whatever you can think of. But Joshua 1:9, we read a lot, and I hope it doesn't just fly over your head because we do use it a lot, and we sing about it in several songs. But when we read, "Be strong and courageous!" exclamation point, "Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." Now, if you can remember that verse, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're going, no matter whatever it is, if you can remember that God is on your side and you need to keep him front and center in your life, and you can have this kind of attitude, be strong to whether you can withstand, and be courageous to whether you can face whatever it is, whatever challenge it is that's out there. And don't be afraid of it. You know, fear is a thing. It's a big thing. And again, that can get us off track. But don't let things of this world that honestly are temporary take your sights off the goal of heaven and things that are eternal. Because the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. For he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can this world do to you?" Well, you might think it can do an awful lot. And yeah, you know, it can. There's no denying that. But in the big scheme of things, when we think of the temporary nature of life here versus the eternal nature of heaven, and being with God for eternity, what are you going to focus on? What are you going to let affect your life the most? You're going to live your life in fear of what might happen to you today, tomorrow, the next day, or are you going to live your life with courage to be able to face the obstacles that you're going to have to face to keep your course steady? So ballot number two's issue that we're going to vote on is fear or courage. How are you going to live each and every day? How are you going to face the next challenge? You're going to face it with fear, thinking that you're all alone, and who's going to help me do this? Who's going to help me get through this? Or are you going to face it with courage? Because you know who is on your side. When you go to God in prayer, you can go to Him with confidence that He hears you and He's going to be with you. So, what are we voting on? Raise your hands at home too. If you're voting for fear, let's vote for fear. Are we? I hope not. We're not voting for fear today. We're not voting for fear any day. We vote for courage. Want to see some hands? Yes. Yes. I see them online as well. All right. So we are voting for courage. Yes. Don't be disheartened. Don't be dismayed. You will not be abandoned. You're not going to be given up on. Because the Lord loves you and the Lord is on your side. All right. Ballot issue number three. A couple of interesting pictures here. My ballot issue number three is Bible study. How are we doing on that? With my two little pictures here, I think you kind of get the idea of where I might be headed with this. Really, what you're hoping, what I'm hoping that you do as you walk your Christian life is you continue to learn and to grow. And I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. We all can learn and we all can grow. Because we have God's Word that we can study at all times. And we can go back and continue to study it and continue to learn. I mean, we talk about the fount of every blessing and all the blessings that God continues to pour out on us each and every day. The blessing of knowledge and understanding God's will continues to be poured out for you. And it's right here. And there's so much that you can learn and grow from. And you want to continue to do that each and every day. So really the issue comes down to, do you want to continue to learn and to grow through study, through gaining more knowledge and understanding? Or what's the other side of this? The guy with his head in the sand. Just become stagnant. I know enough. I've studied. I've been a Christian 50 years. I know what there is I need to know. I don't need to study anymore. I beg to differ. I bet you can learn some more. But there definitely is some that become stagnant or complacent, using some fancy words here. You're just happy with where you are in your level of knowledge. Don't need to do any more. I'm happy right where I'm at. I am content with my level of knowledge. Or there really is another kind of person that I jotted down here that would rather just ignore the parts that are hard to understand or too hard to apply. You ever run into some of that? I have. I've run across some things in my life that I've studied and I'm like, man, that's hard. And that is hard to apply because it might necessitate some changes that you need to make in your life. Don't like people telling you need to change or you're doing something wrong or you might need to evaluate that. But you know what? It happens. And the more you study, you might run across that. But you know what? Burying your head in the sand, you're not putting yourself on very good footing with God. Ignorance is not bliss. In this regard. So some scriptures to give you to think about with this. Proverbs 1, verses 5 in verses 7. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right at the beginning, let the wise. Somebody that's wise. You know, somebody has the ability to discern and judge properly. That is what is true and right. Do you consider yourself wise? That's tough. I hope you consider yourself wanting to be more wise and to increase in wisdom. Why do you want to do that? So that you can discern and judge properly to what is true and right. So your path forward needs to be wanting to be more wise, have more wisdom. How do you obtain that? Increase here and increase in learning. You want to continue to learn. And when you think you understand, obtain guidance. You know, talk about it with others. Be able to study with others. Go to God in prayer. Ask for guidance with what you're studying. But again, that's what you want to do. You want to continue to grow in wisdom and understanding. And understanding the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Having Him first and foremost in your life. And understanding and trusting that His word is true. His word is sure. That's why we want to make it a part of our life. And the ones that don't, they're fools. Again, the ones that think it's too hard. They don't want to listen to it. I don't want to do that. That messes up me and my routine. I'd have to change. I don't want to change. And when we think about fools despising wisdom, you know, that's a strong word. You know, it's not that they don't even want to listen to it or don't want to do it. They regard it with contempt or disgust. You know, so that's something I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to have that kind of attitude that I don't want to study God's word and be considered a fool because I detest it or consider it with contempt. No. Another verse I want to share with you with this one, Colossians 1, 9 through 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We have not ceased to pray for you. What was this prayer? Asking that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. That is a great prayer. Pray that for others. Pray that for yourself. Fill yourself with the knowledge of God. Again, how do we do that? We study. We have God's word. We can fill ourselves with the knowledge of God. What's doing that accomplish? We got a whole bunch of stuff right here in this verse. Helps us walk in a worthy manner. Helps us be pleasing to God. Helps us to bear fruit. Good works. And it can help us continue to increase in knowledge. Go figure this. Studying the Bible and continuing to study can help us to continue to increase in knowledge. Yes. So, our ballot options here this morning. We can vote for knowledge, or we can vote for ignorance and be that fool that despises wisdom and understanding. So, who's voting for knowledge? See, I tricked you guys. I didn't. I put it first this time. Who's voting for ignorance? No, we're not doing that. Good, I don't see any hands online either. All right, good. So, yes, we are voting for knowledge today. And again, I hope you understand the value of Bible study. Again, it is said a lot. And again, it's easy to say. But I'm sure I'm not speaking just of myself. I don't do it enough. I need to do it more. And I encourage you to do it more as well. Because the more you study, the more you're going to grow, and the more you're going to increase in knowledge. All right. Oh, man. I apologize. I know these always take longer than I thought. All right. Ballot issue number 4. Our issue this morning is how we choose to treat and respond to others. You got any problems with that? Sometimes I do. There are people at work that frustrate the tar out of me. And it can be a challenge sometimes. And how we choose to treat and respond to those people can say a lot. And it can be by words. It can be by actions. A lot of different ways. But don't be mistaken. You have the choice on how you are going to respond. You can't choose how they're going to respond. I can't choose how I'm going to be treated each and every day. Yeah, sometimes it's a good day. Sometimes it's bad days. But you know what? You have a choice on how you're going to respond. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I'm going to pair that verse with 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You get the point of these two verses here. You need to have a good attitude about the people you're around. And again, it can be difficult. There's some really hard people to respect and to treat with respect and to treat with a loving attitude. But if we can't do that, that's a problem. And this verse specifically always really jumps out at me. If you can love your brother, have respect for your brother. And I mean just respect for everybody. You need to have that. There is no cause for stumbling. But if you've got this hate that's in you, and you've got this attitude of always just having this chip on your shoulder, and how, again, you're going to respond to others, that's going to cause you some stumbling. Because what I have found, at least in my life, that just keeps chipping away at you. And you've just got this thing just kind of bubbling up in you. You don't want that. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for any of you. If you wind up having this antagonism or this hate or whatever word you want to put there for somebody or for some people, whatever it is, it's going to eat away at you. And it's going to cause you to stumble to the point where you don't even know where you're going or what you're doing, specifically spiritually. I talk a lot about getting off the path. I think this is something that's pretty important to be on guard for, because it can get you off the path. How you respond and treat others, regardless of how you're being treated by them. And I know that is hard, and that's tough. But when we think about this thing that we're voting on, we choose, are we going to choose love or are we going to choose hate? And I know hate's a hard word, but whenever we harbor these ill things toward people in our heart, you may not think it's hate at the time, but I feel like it sure is headed that way, and it's turning into that. And you got to be on guard for that, because that's going down a dark path that I don't want to see anybody go down. So this one's really important to me. And I know, again, it seems obvious. Who's voting for love here? Yeah, I would hope so. And who's voting for hate? I hope nobody. But again, my guidance for you here is to be on guard and really evaluate, especially, again, how you treat and react others and to others. Be mindful of that. Catch yourself sometime. I think I've used this analogy before about, you know, my drive to work and back home is not the most pleasant thing. I got to drive to St. Louis, and I mean, Dale, they live over there. They got to drive it all the time. But, you know, that can be tough. And there's some days that I'm not a happy driver and for what's going on around me. And I gotta be mindful of that. And that's something I got to work on. And I'm not even doing that specifically to somebody individually. I'm just you know, just be watchful for that. Catch yourself the next time you find yourself clenching your fist at somebody or just whatever it is. And make sure you're living your life with love and respect for others. All right, I got one more for you. Here's our issue. Last one on our ballot. You can live your life as being enslaved or imprisoned. Being imprisoned and enslaved to sin. Imprisoned and enslaved to this world. And that happens to a lot of people. You're letting sin and Satan and the things of this world enslave or imprison you. The word that came to mind when I was thinking about this is subjugate. Again, another fancy word, but bring under complete control, or to conquer, or to master. So the issue with this one is, are you letting the things of this world control you to the point where you're under complete control? Of course, you might be thinking, no way. Well, think it over. Really evaluate your choices, what you do, what you choose to prioritize in your life. And then think about it again. What am I choosing to have control over me? Psalm 118, verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Sometimes we can feel those chains on us and wrapped around us. And we just feel bound up, that we can't escape sometimes the things of this world and the sins of this world that sometimes just seem to be all around us. It just got us wrapped up so tight, don't know what to do. The Lord can set us free. Call on Him. Trust in Him. The Lord will answer, and the Lord can set you free. John 8, 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be freed indeed. Sin enslaves us. We all have sinned. We all make mistakes. But understanding the severity of that and understanding that sin enslaves you, I think helps you have the right perspective on not wanting to continue in those sins, wanting to make your life right so that you are not a slave to Satan, you're not a slave to this world, you're not a slave to sin. When you study and you grow in knowledge with God, you understand what the truth is. That truth can set you free, can help you walk the path, walk in knowledge. So the last thing that we're voting on here today, are we going to vote to wear those chains, or are we going to vote for freedom? Who's voting for chains? Everybody likes chains, right? No, I don't want these chains. These are chains that are not going to be good for us. They don't look good, they don't feel good, and you don't want them. Nobody's voting for change. We're voting for freedom, right? Yes. We are voting for freedom today. And I hope you understand with everything that we have talked about this morning, how important it is to believe and trust in God, to study His Word, understand that He is with you, that you can go to Him in prayer. He can be your strength. He can help you break free of the chains of sin. And if you have fallen away and you have let sin enslave you, make your life right. Go to God in prayer. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for strength. Ask for the courage that you need to get through whatever it is you need to get through. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, a little extra boost, we can do that too. We can do that right now. And you've not been baptized into Christ, now's the time to make your life right. So you can start walking that path. So you can make that choice. Yes, I will follow Jesus. I am resolved to do whatever it takes to make sure that I get to heaven. And I'm going to study, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to trust, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to live my life so I can hear those words, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." So I hope this lesson has been an encouragement to you. Whatever your needs are, let us know. Let's stand and sing.